Another helpful way to support continuity is to be curious about what situations, what the situations are where mindfulness gets lost. And so as you go through your day, rather than kind of being frustrated or upset around, mindfulness just keeps getting lost, start being curious about what the conditions are. You might notice that mindfulness gets lost in particular places when you go into your room or go to your yogi job. And if that happens, if you start kind of noticing a pattern around mindfulness getting lost at certain times of the day or certain places, then I wouldn't want to encourage a kind of a doubling down to I'm going to stay mindful while I'm there, but more a sense of curiosity. What happens there? And so you might, as you're approaching your room, for instance, you know, you might, as you're approaching your room, remember, so if you have noticed, mindfulness tends to get lost when I go to my room, then as you're approaching your room, you might recognize, let's see if we can see what happens here. And not trying to hold on to the mindfulness there, but more curiosity. What goes on as you enter your room? What is it that the mind picks up on that it gets lost? Or perhaps the mindfulness tends to get lost with particular habits or patterns of mind, boredom or sleepiness or confusion or frustration. And again, a curiosity about what happens there. What is it? You might start by being a little bit aware of boredom, but then where does the mindfulness slip? What are the conditions? So increasing the curiosity around where the mindfulness kind of slips out. A good exploration around this, or a kind of a way to begin to get a piece of the puzzle here, I'd say, in terms of where mindfulness gets lost, is in we can begin to be curious about attention, the shifting of attention. As we are receptive mode, we are not so much controlling what we're paying attention to, and yet the attention will shift from object to object, experience to experience. We're sitting here and we're noticing maybe a vibration in the body, and then there's a sound, and the attention is automatically on the sound, and then there's a response to that sound. And sometimes what happens when the attention shifts, we hear a sound, we start thinking about the sound, and then we get caught in the thoughts. And so very often what happens when the mind wanders is that the attention will shift and we won't be clearly aware that the attention has shifted. And so it's this fertile ground for thoughts to arise and then to get lost in those thoughts. And so kind of being curious about the shifting itself. What is that like when the attention shifts? Sometimes I think I mentioned this earlier in the retreat, a sense of following the attention. At one point, I described this to Sayadaw. I described, it's kind of like I'm just following behind and watching where the attention goes. And he said, he got really kind of interested in this and came up with his own analogy. He said, yeah, it's like having a dog on a leash. You know, you're holding on to the leash and that dog's going to, you know, come jumping around, looking at things and like smelling this and looking at that and sticking his nose in that. And your job is just to hold on to the leash. You don't have to try to control where the dog like puts its nose or goes. And kind of similarly, it's kind of like being curious about the tether or the kind of connection is with knowing that the attention is shifting. And there's a kind of a feeling that we can connect with around when the attention shifts. A good place to start to get familiar with this, I would say, or to start to recognize this happening, is in the walking meditation. So in the walking, one thing that is helpful to begin to recognize, especially around seeing and hearing. We can be, while walking, not particularly focused on any objects of sight, but knowing that we're seeing, you know, that they're seeing happening, but it's more like just this field of sight, kind of like we're walking through, like almost like it's a camera moving through a field, but no particular like focus on anything. And so we're knowing that seeing is happening. And at some point, the attention will kind of land on something. There'll be some condition. Maybe we're walking and we walk past something and suddenly a bright spot of color appears and the attention orients to that color. Or we're walking and not particularly looking at anything and a bird flies right in front of us and the attention just collapses down to look at that bird. This is very natural. Our system is kind of designed to do this. And so we're not trying to, like, preference seeing and this kind of open, like, non-focus, but to begin to be curious about that shift. What are the conditions that lead to the shift from seeing to looking? We don't have to stop looking and go back to seeing. But just be curious. Oh, that happened. If we know that happened, we can be mindful of looking. If we don't know that happened, and often that's a place where the mindfulness tends to get lost. We're seeing, and then the attention shifts, and we don't notice it clearly, and then we start thinking about that bird or that flower. What kind of flower is it, and where can I get one of those, and maybe that nursery down the road, and then we're at the nursery down the road. So this kind of recognition of seeing to looking. And likewise, there can be a shift between hearing and listening. There's a kind of taking in of the auditory field, not focusing on anything, and then suddenly there's that woodpecker sound. The attention lands there. Can we notice the shift? So this is a shift of attention. And it can be a good place, I think, from seeing to looking, hearing to listening, is a good place to begin to get familiar with that sense of the shifting of attention. And this can happen in sitting, too. We may be in a very receptive space, where we are simply kind of not really focused on anything. It doesn't feel like there's a particular focus, but there's a knowing that we're aware and maybe a sense of kind of knowing that there are objects, but not really landing on any particular object. Kind of objects in the background almost, but knowing that we're aware. And often there, the mind is kind of attending or connecting with a state of settledness, perhaps, or of calm, or maybe there's it settled kind of on a vibratory energy in the body that's more diffuse and not very precise. And yet we're sitting there in that, and then suddenly there's a burst of sound, and attention goes there. And if we are kind of attached to that, the pleasantness perhaps of this receptive space, we may resist or resent a sound kind of coming in. And then we may not notice, oh, but what's happened here is very natural. Conditions arose for attention to shift. This is not self. I didn't decide to have that sound. The sound appeared. I didn't decide to listen. The listening happened. So this exploration of the shifting of attention is a real kind of curiosity about not self. Because often the shift of attention happens because of conditions, not because I decided to shift the attention. And so we can begin to to open to and recognize, wow, there's so much happening here that I didn't decide to do. Like the appearance of color or movement in our field very naturally. That's a condition that will orient looking. We might look based on some kind of intention to look, but usually there's something else that's happened. So we might go outside and think, oh, I've seen these holes in these trees where this particular kind of bird stores acorns. I wonder if there are any of those here. And so we start go looking at trees. But what has happened is that this thought has arisen. Did you make that thought arise? What happened? A thought arose. It conditioned a curiosity, which conditioned a desire to look. And so this very natural unfolding. And often, not our conscious doing. So curiosity about this shifting of attention. What happens there? It's just phenomenal what we can see with a simple thing like shifting to looking.